Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a very special podcast of the Man Reimagined series with myself, Malcolm Nichols, and my good friend, Richard Ayling. This particular podcast, we are having a conversation with a man named Jerome Tilok Singh, who is speaking to us all the way from Trinidad. And we're speaking to Jerome because Jerome is the instigator, the father, or the creator, choose whichever word you wish, of the International Men's Day movement that has been slowly growing and spreading its tentacles around the globe over the last 20 years, since 1999, I think. So before I go further on, I'd like both Jerome to say hello and then Rich as well. So Jerome, do you want to say good day to the listeners?
Good day to everyone in Europe, in New Zealand, around the world, whoever is listening. I just want to say that I am honored to be here. I am wondering if I'm the first person from the Caribbean. I hope I'm not the last, and I'm really glad to be on this program. Really great to be here.
It's great to have you, Jerome. And Rich, would you like to say good day?
Yeah, hello everyone. Super excited and honored to have you here, Jerome. It's a conversation I'm looking forward to have because this is such a cool movement, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it and creating more awareness because not enough men know about this, not enough people know about it. So thank you for giving us your time.
Yes, great. So Jerome, should we kick this podcast off by you introducing yourself a little bit, who you are, where you live, and then we'll move into, what inspired you to start International Men's Day. But first off, let us know a bit about you and that wonderful accent that you've got.
Right. I am a lecturer in the history department at the University of the West Indies. I am a father, I'm a husband, I'm also, of course, a son. And my parents, have always been advising me and encouraging me to help others. So I've always felt, that there would be opportunity later in life where I could help others. And I'm really glad that, I'm finding this niche and this movement, to help out. So I live in tiny island, Trinidad and Tobago, in the Caribbean, a twin island state. Population just about 1.3, 1.4 million, not many people there. And of course, we have certain sports that you all would know around there, football or soccer, cricket. So we are very, sports oriented, and we are, just enjoy life right now.
Yeah, I have to say that one of the reputational things of, coming from New Zealand, Trinidad, I think of cricket and I think of like happy, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
If I can imagine the Caribbean, it's like laughter and enjoying life. So, they're the images I have.
Yeah.
So, Jerome, do you want to drop kick into run us through what was the inspiration for you starting the International Men's Day movement?
Right, I felt that there were many negative images of men in the media. Men were stereotyped. Men were stigmatized. And, many men were being accused wrongfully of crimes. And, the public opinion would pronounce these men guilty. And I realized there was a need for positive role models. There was a need for role models right within the community and your family. And I felt that I would choose the 19th of November because it's my dad's birthday, and I wanted people to know that when you need a role model, you don't have to look in Hollywood. You don't have to look in any movies. You don't have to look for sporting athletes. You could look right within your home. A grandfather, an uncle, a stepfather, a big brother could be that positive role model. A teacher in your school who you admire. So that was one of the reasons that I felt inspired. And secondly, I realized that on the calendar of United Nations events, there was no special day for men. We had Father's Day, which is not on the UN calendar, but we were not dealing with men who were single. We were not talking about young boys who needed to emphasize and highlight. So I felt there was a need for this day. And, you know, but my dad inspired me. And also on the 19th of November, 1989, our football team lost 1-0 in a soccer game to United States, a World Cup game, a crucial game. And that game on November the 19th brought us together. And you and Rich would know that, you know, that sports is a unifying medium for men. You know, it's not just going in the pub, but going to see a soccer game, cricket game, baseball, basketball. That is, and I felt we needed, you know, sports could be a good way where we could transcend the barriers that divide our men.
I mean, it's interesting. Sport is absolutely a unifier. and also, I mean, one of the things that happens in New Zealand is that it becomes actually sport has become a bit of a, what's the word? It's a bit of a handbrake in so far as men relating to each other, because it just becomes about support and we lose how to relate to each other in other terms. So that's right. An interesting juxtaposition about it all. So you talked a little bit about in your intro there, you know, the men being abused, you know, different crimes and various other things. I mean, I'm wondering, because obviously, you know, there are different situations. New Zealand and Trinidad have got different social situations and different things. So do you want to talk a little bit about how you've seen things evolve for you as you've started? Because, you know, this is 21 years now or 22 years that we're coming on since you first started this movement. And I have to say, how old were you at the time? Because you look remarkably young right now.
I think I might have been in my early 20s. You know, I might have been in my 20s when I started the movement, you know.
Yes.
And you know, when you're younger, you are very utopian in thinking. You have visions of a better society and a new society. So, you know, it was all part of seeing a better society, you know. Unfortunately, things have not really changed in my country in that I still see men, you know, being perpetrators of violent crimes. I still see men being stereotyped and stigmatized. I still see men, you know, being accused, especially our politicians, being accused of issues like corruption, you know. So I still see that the issues that were there 21 years ago are still here in 2021.
And you know, one of the common refrains that would be, you know, that I hear against International Men's Day, you know, and I'd be curious to hear your response, you know. So there's things like, well, you know, isn't every day a men's day? You know, men have been the dominating force within society and culture for a long time, and you know, why do men need a day to recognize them? That's one, certainly one refrain. Another one that I've often heard is, you know, well, actually there is a, like in New Zealand, for example, one of the horrific stats that we have over here is that 25% of all girls who go to university say they've been sexually assaulted in one form or another, which is horrific. So, you know, one of the arguments again is that, well, actually, you know, there are these things that, these horrific things that are going on, and that men need to take responsibility for those things. So what are your answers to those types of questions?
But to answer the first part is that you know, it's difficult to see that, you know, the society will change, you know, and to want to change, because we have a system like patriarchy. And that's why people would say every day is Men's Day, or every day is a National Men's Day, because in the patriarchal system, we believe men dominate. But funny enough, over the years, journalists have asked me, what are we doing about dismantling or eradicating patriarchy? And I would tell them, how could we dismantle a system that has been in our human society for thousands of years? A society connected, patriarchy is connected to culture, to religion, to politics. You know, how could a small movement, how could one person or a few persons dismantle patriarchy? How could we do that when some people want it to remain? You know, so some people attack the movement and talk about patriarchy, they talk about, you know, the women dominate in society. So I think that is the problem, and that they are a bit too harsh, too critical on the International Men's Day. They expect us to do miracles. We don't have that funding capacity or the human resource. And secondly, you talked about, you know, the sexual assault numbers in the Caribbean. It's also alarming. We also have men committing crimes. Throughout the world, you would know, Mal and Rich, we have a high rate of suicides among men, a high rate of deaths, you know, in work-related incidents. So all these things, we have to look at these statistics and wonder, are men really to blame? You know, if men commit these crimes against women, is it part of their socialization? Does it mean that we need more psychiatrists or psychologists in the society? Is it a mental health issue? Is it the impact of pornography? So all these things could have a factor on, you know, those alarming statistics, you know, that you talk about for university females.
That's super interesting, Jerome. I'm wondering, like, what was your intention when you actually started International Men's Day? Like, was it to kind of create an awareness, like, around the world, like, so that everyone looked at men differently? Was it for men to kind of step up and look at themselves, or to feel pride? Like, I mean, what was your hope? What were you hoping that would shift, and how has it worked out over the last 20 years? What have you noticed?
Yeah, I wanted men to unite. I wanted barriers to be removed. I realized that men are divided along ethnic lines. There's a lot of racism. Sometimes we have men who might be of a different sexuality. You know, 50 years ago, the men's movement might be considered white, heterosexual, you know, and we have all this diversity now, a broad spectrum. And I wanted to see unity amongst the men. I wanted us to ensure that men in the developing countries, first world countries, men of different classes could unite. And secondly, I wanted men to understand their roles and responsibilities in society. And I'm not championing patriarchy, but you and Mal would know that from the beginning of civilization, men have been builders of civilizations, protectors of the tribe, you know, creators of pyramids, you know. So we have achieved a lot, you know, and the men have also been hunters and gatherers. And this is, you know, what I wanted men to see, not just to believe that they have to continue being protectors, but they have to understand that they have a vital role in the society, in the development, the progress, the evolution of society. And I think that some of the men don't realize that, they don't understand that. You know, I have been accused of betraying the men's movement. I've been accused of selling out to feminists, you know. So I think that people have sort of missed some of the objectives of what I've been trying to achieve.
I mean, just listening to you, like, part of me is going, wow, yes. And I love the championing of diversity. And, like, I was really with you. And then a part of me was like, oh, I need some more information on what that looks like. How do men show up as, yes, protectors, but also builders as well? A part of me can imagine why women might sort of say, well, hang on a minute, you know, like, how are we involved in this? And so I know you have an answer to that, right? I know you do. And I know that things get misunderstood. And you mentioned before the call that when we were talking that you've actually got into some trouble with some feminists, right? And you've actually used the word being attacked. I mean, I'm sure hopefully just with words. So can you just let me know, like, you know, how can things go wrong and what are your intentions in terms of men showing up in support of and working together with everyone else, identity wise, and how that's gone wrong and how you've been attacked?
I think what has happened is that, you know, some of the men, they didn't want to associate with other men because they started to feel, some men felt they were superior or better than other men. Some men felt that their values, their morals, their ethics would be corrupted by associating with other men. And I will tell you all, you and your listeners, a little incident. I have been collaborating with people from India. And you all would know about the caste system in India with the Brahmins and the untouchables. And it bothers me to know that I've been having men's days so many years, and yet we have men in the upper strata in society, the upper areas that don't want to associate with men from the lower strata, and they're living in the same country, they belong to the same religion. So I saw that as a problem, but what I have also realized, I wanted to highlight the positive attributes. You see, I talk about builders and protectors. Men have also been destroyers of each other. And you all would know about the genocide, slavery, indentureship. We have hurt each other. So I wanted to move away from that image of men as creating pain and hurt and showing a positive image of what men have done in the past and what we could do in the present and what we could do in the future. Because as a historian, I have studied the centuries. I have studied different civilizations, you know, and I've seen how we have potential, but often because of greed, maybe because of capitalism, maybe because of misdirected goals, you know, we have lost that direction.
Yeah, beautiful. I think, you know, that your last little piece there really solidified, or at least that, you know, brought forward the grand intention around the positivity. I certainly feel as if, you know, one of the things that I've encountered in New Zealand as I've been wanting to try to generate some awareness of this day this year. So, you know, I've taken it on myself to try to bring International Men's Day into the spotlight in New Zealand this year. And, you know, one of the big things has been around just trying to change the conversation about where men sit in society and try to bring a sense, you know, bring this positivity to light, because it is very easy to focus on the negative, and it is very easy to see that, you know, there is a lot of hurt that has gone on and been created and perpetrated by men, but also to see how that burden, what the impact of that burden has on men. You know, when we're told that kind of thing, it actually alienates us from our sense. It alienates us from our sense of identity and self. And in New Zealand, there's a massive confusion about, you know, what does it actually mean to be a man these days? You know, where do I sit in society? What can I claim? What can I not claim? And that's a lot of what Rich and I have been talking about on these podcasts, you know, really exploring this question of what it means to be a man and how actually, you know, we're in a place now where it feels like we're beginning to deconstruct a lot, and we can actually start to recreate ourselves. And what would that look like if we were to do it in a really positive light? And I think, you know, one of the fears that I've encountered in New Zealand around trying to bring International Men's Day here is that a fear from men that that the day will be misconstrued as some kind of day to big up men and to make, you know, to almost like the male uh, the far right male supremacists, you know, that kind of thing. They're scared that we're going to jump on this as a day to push the masculine agenda. And whereas what you've just said is that it's so not that. It's about this, you know, what is it that men really offer, that the positive, the beautiful things that we offer to society, not just in the present, but what we have offered in the past. You know, we have done a lot of great things, and how can we build on that now? And that's just what I'm hearing you say. And I think, you know, if there's one message for me about International Men's Day, it's like that one. It's like getting a hold of this. You know, we do have a lot to offer, and how can we shine a light on that stuff?
And you know, I understand what you are going through, because that teething period of getting a movement going in a new country, you know, getting a new movement growing, it will take a while to deconstruct narratives, you know, to restart dialogues, restart conversations that were there, that were dying. And what I have realized, which is very sad, sometimes when we are involved in International Men's Day, people expect us to be perfect, and we all have imperfections, including me, you know, and we are not perfect fathers or brothers or sons. We are on that journey to perfection, but we might never reach it, we might die. And many men, they never had a proper relationship with their brothers, with their fathers. Sometimes, and I will tell you, I'll tell you and your listeners this, sometimes there's a fear, you know, that we might be seen as homosexual if we show too much brotherly love or attachment, you know, to another male figure. And it is this fear sometimes that keeps us in a cocoon, keeps us in a shell. Sometimes we might not want to cry. A boy doesn't want to cry because he will be teased by his peers as a sissy, as being too feminine. So a simple thing as crying, which is a human nature, baby cries, right? Regardless if it's a boy or a girl baby. But men don't want to cry. They don't want to show any sympathy or empathy because they believe that they must be a tough guy. They must be that alpha male, you know? And I think this is what is, that this creates the mental stress, the trauma, pent up emotions, you know, that needs an outlet, that needs to be expressed. And I think this is what we need to do for International Men's Day. We also need to allow men to freely express themselves without fear of being judged. They must be able to say, you know, I am hurting. And it is this fear of not expressing themselves which also carries over to health. We are afraid to go for checkups. We are afraid to say we are weak. We are afraid to say we are sick. We are hurting inside. You know, we might be diabetic. We might have high blood pressure. But you don't want to take the tablet because tablets are a sign of weakness, going to the doctor, going to the psychiatrist. And you see, we all need, as men, realize we all have weaknesses. We all have our weak points. And I think we need to try to understand it as part of human nature. And this is what I'm trying to get also the message across, that it's okay to be sick. You know, it's okay to hurt inside, but we need to try to heal ourselves. We need to create a holistic man.
Wow. Yeah, beautifully said.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got a question there, Rich?
No, just to, you know, I mean, you and I have touched on some themes like that, and you've just summarized, Jerome, in the last couple of minutes of talking, you know, everything that we're passionate about and that we believe in, and that the problems that we see. And that the point that stuck out for me was how we're even afraid to go to the doctor and say that we're sick or it, just to show any sign of weakness whatsoever, and the knock-on effects that then lead to all kinds of sicknesses, you know, even suicides. And for us to just be able to show ourselves and say, hey, this is me and I'm hurting, you know, it's just not the done thing. And I'd love to shift that. It's a big ask, right?
It is.
You have a theme, I understand, as well, for kind of each year with International Men's Day. Would you care to tell us about what the theme or the concept is for this year? Because it's coming up pretty soon.
Yes. The theme this year is creating a safe environment But we also have another popular theme is better relations between men and women. And, you know, what I've been telling men's groups and fathers' groups is that I believe in democracy, and you are free to choose a theme or a topic every year that suits your group or suits your NGO, you know, or so that a lot of people, you know, they like creating a safe environment because right now we are amidst a pandemic. And they want to know that men who are frontline workers, you know, we could focus on them. So some hospitals, you know, have contacted me and say they like the first one. They like creating a safe environment. So I've allowed that, you know, but it's so interesting because I let coordinators around the world help decide what should be the theme. Sometimes we use a theme this year and we repeat it in 2 years' time. Something like health, men's health. It's something that we could do every year. That's an important theme, you know, so it could come up later on. So we tend to rotate the themes, we change it up a bit, you know, but it's a really a lightning rod, like to get men mobilized, that team.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Thanks, Jerome. I mean, it's interesting because I jumped on board with this and have kind of created a New Zealand version of what you've just talked about over here. So, you know, one of the things that we've tried to do in New Zealand is create a theme, you know, look, observing, you know, where are men in New Zealand and what is it that looking at what you've just talked about in terms of creating a safe environment, but also, you know, the relationships between men and women. You know, what we've come up with New Zealand is kind of created a particular New Zealand version of what you've just said, or a particular New Zealand style to it. So we've called it in New Zealand, men stepping up, which is about men, and we've got men stepping up in relation to supporting other men, and men stepping up in support of women and this, and social equity over here. So we've kind of, we've taken you have given a New Zealand languaging, if you like, to it. And what we've also done here, Jerome, which I don't know if you picked up on, but we're running with is, you know, Movember and various other places, you know, they've all got these symbols of what it is they're trying to create. So Movember's got a moustache, you've got Pink Ribbon Day, which is people wear pink ribbons, you know, and various other things. White Ribbon Day, I think, is to do with domestic violence. And so what we've in support of this theme of men stepping up, we've created, we're trying to encourage all New Zealanders to wear two different shoes on the day as a symbol of this idea of supporting men, showing their support for men. So we want men, women, children, everybody to wear two different shoes on the day to show that they support men stepping up. And it's, I'm hoping that is going to create some kind of social momentum here just to start. And because all, as I think you have illuminated here, so much of this is just about getting us all talking, right? Getting everybody being willing to have conversations at a different level to a different depth than we're currently doing. So that's what we've kind of taken your themes, because I haven't been a part of any of your previous discussions. So we've pretty much kind of run with it on our own. And now we've just recently connected with you, which I'm very grateful for, because it now puts us into it feels great to be a part of a more international organization that seems to be really gathering some momentum in different parts of the world.
Yes, and I want to commend you for that, creating that Facebook page. I've also been following up, you know, that model you have been doing, you know, with the different shoes. I think it is very interesting, you know. It's very interesting. I want to mention too that sometimes when I'm highlighting positive male role models, I mention real life stories. And I have known men who have been taking care of their wives, sometimes their moms who have diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and cancer. And I mean, what I've been telling people is that often these men are not on the front pages, they are not on the first item on the news, And these are the real heroes of the International Men's Day that I want to recognize. I want to recognize the dad who would help his daughter or son with their homework, who would help the wife cook a meal. The dad who would go that extra mile, maybe take a second job to support his family. The dad who is disabled because of maybe involvement in a war, but still makes that extra effort to keep his family together. These are the people in the trenches that I always, for the last few years since inception, have been trying to recognize. We have so many men out there who they don't get a medal or a trophy for being a good dad, a good brother, a good grandfather. But I want you all to know, the listeners and you and Marlon Rich, that this is what this day is about. Recognizing the invisible men, recognizing their contributions and their work.
It almost feels like that's unfashionable, you know, like I wish it weren't, but it's always a beautiful thing. And I follow, I think it's called Good News Movement on Instagram. It just makes my feed just, you know, gives it something positive. And there's always some good news, and there's always just some humans doing cool things. And we do these things not for recognition. We do them because it's the right thing to do. And it doesn't always get recognized. And there's lots of tales of these kind of things, but for men to be commended, like maybe I'll get in trouble for saying that, but I do feel like that's not, like you said, that's not first page of the first item on the news, you know. And it's like, we're all humans doing good things, and it would be great for the men who are also doing these things to just kind of, you know, just get a little nod or something like that. So I appreciate you saying that. I have a question around the fact that you've been doing this for 20 years. Like, we're kind of just getting into this now in terms of, you know, really trying to do this podcast, and we're new to it. We're not new to men's work, but just having daring to put our voices out there and say, hey, it's something needs to change here. We're pretty fresh. What advice would you have for us? Like, what are the key things that you've noticed in the last 20 years of doing this diligently and trying to get this movement going?
I think one of the things that I've noticed is there is now increased attention and some positive news about men on social media, right? 20 years ago, we didn't have things like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I'm now seeing men at the forefront, you know, and men putting together a different package out there for the public, you know, positive news. And they are fighting a war, a sort of media war, because as you all would know and your listeners, gossip and scandal sells more. And it's unfortunately more appealing to the public, you know, the way it is commercialized. So I'm really, you know, happy whenever I see that you all with these commendable podcasts, I see people with podcasts, some people have their radio stations online. Some people have newsletters. So I am seeing now an increased effort. Journals, you know, online journals. I'm seeing online conferences from last year, a lot of virtual conferences. I'm seeing more gatherings of men, and I'm seeing more discussions. But what I want to tell you and your listeners is that we cannot just be talking. The talk has to stop, and our ideas must materialize into actions, because Rich, me, you, and Mal could sit down here and talk for hours about unity and the beauty of male friendships and progress of men and positive attributes of men. But when we end our conversation, it doesn't become a reality. And what I've been telling people, this is where the governments have to implement agendas. This is where NGOs also have to partner with us. So there must be a collaborative effort. It's like fingers on a hand. We cannot just be the thumb and the other four fingers doing their own thing. The thumb wouldn't achieve anything. The thumb wouldn't be able to pick up anything. So I think that your listeners, you know, and others out there need to realize there needs to be collaboration, and there needs to be a concrete agenda. You all would know a few days ago, we had a big international meeting for climate change. You know, maybe we might use this podcast to initiate next year or in the future, a convention, an international convention or summit for men, where we could sit down, you know, and put together our ideas and try to implement these ideas, because we don't want just, you know, to be talking.
Yeah, it's I wholeheartedly agree with you around this action piece. It's you know, I think that's a very profound observation. You know, one of the observations I have in New Zealand is that, you know, for the last, well, for a long time, men have been very passive in our working towards change, you know, and particularly, I think, you know, since Me Too erupted, you know, it feels as if there's been a collective kind of diving under the table by a lot of men, right? And you know, I understand it, but also that doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't serve men, and it doesn't serve women, and it doesn't serve society, us doing that. And it feels as if, you know, one of the best uses of, you know, there's this discussion around masculine and the masculine, what it means and everything. And one of the things for me is about being willing to stand up and to show some courage, you know. And I think you're bang on right about, you know, it's time for men to show some courage and to stand up for all of us. And that's, you know, so it's just one of the things I'm just getting, Rich, and you know, you've said it just before from you, Jerome, it's just how wonderfully articulate you are in putting all of this out there. It just, you've said so much in such a short space of time about the experience of men, but also where our potential as well. And and I think that's another bit for why I've really want to embrace International Men's Day, because it speaks to our potential, you know, what we, where we are and where we can go, where we can go to.
I like that word you use, Malcolm, about men being passive, and you know, you mentioned the Me Too movement, and I will add to that and extend on that discussion to say that I too have also noticed, not just in Trinidad but other countries, that men have also retracted. They have stepped back a bit. And you know what people have been using against us? They have been using a label called toxic masculinity. And people use that very loosely, like a whip, to keep us in line. And I mean, we could speak for hours and days about what toxic masculinity is. And sometimes when we stand up for courage, and you stand up for what is right and for what is justice, and when you say what is in your mind or your feelings, people would look at you and they would brand you, just as they brand a cattle and animals, a horse, they brand you with the iron, toxic masculinity. So I want your listeners to know that using that term is also attempting to stereotype and stigmatize men. It's attempting to restrict masculinity, you know. Sometimes there is toxic masculinity, but we use the term too loosely, and I think this is the problem I have. You know, we are emasculating, people have emasculated men by using terms such as toxic masculinity, and this I think could be the detriment to the men's movement.
Yeah, both Richard and I are nodding away and just kind of sitting, you know, sitting with that. I think, you know, there's so much to reflect on that. You know, we had a podcast on toxic masculinity, and God knows if we got it right. But I very much agree with you. I very much agree. So, I mean, what you know, let's talk a bit about the future for this International Men's Day. What's your vision? What would you like to see happen, Jerome?
I have a few visions there. And again, you know, when I was younger, I dreamed of a utopian society. I dreamed of a society without boundaries. I dreamed a society that was peaceful and harmonious. And I would like to see that International Men's Day becomes the instigator, the core, maybe a catalyst to eliminate. I'm not saying to reduce or lessen, to eliminate troubling social problems such as poverty, unemployment, racism, sexism, bigotry, you know, classism, the caste system that I talked about earlier in the program. And, you know, I really hope, you know, that International Men's Day could be this focus point. So this is one of the, you know, my dreams of the future of International Men's Day. And a second dream I have is that I would like to see all countries in the world, you know, this year, 92 countries will be observing International Men's Day. I would like to see all countries on board, on the bandwagon. And, you know, I would like to see the world move in a direction for harmony, you know, and we have too many conflicts. We have too much tension. We have too many innocent lives being lost. You know, and you know, these are my some of my goals for the vision of Men's Day.
Awesome, mate. And man, I love that. I think what the thing that I just love too was realizing that, you know, men, we can, if we step up into this kind of action, positive, you know, how that we can create that. We can do everything that you've said. It's within our power to shift the narrative, to shift the direction into, you know, and I love the idea of a day like this being a part of that societal shift. Rich. Sorry, Jerome, go.
I also want to mention, Mal and Rich, that a lot of times we see posters for National Men's Day and images, and I have also been working with prisoners. I have been contacting prisoners via mail. I've been visiting prisons to try to get a message to incarcerated men. So when they do come out on parole or when they are released, they would, you know, be changed. You know, so I've been reaching out to prisoners, you know, across the world. And secondly, I've also been reaching out to families where the men have autism or Down syndrome. And, you know, often we don't see these men, you know, out there. We don't see men in wheelchairs, you know, in crutches. You know, for International Men's Day, we have certain images that we see. So I have been reaching out to the minority men, the men who are minorities. I am reaching out to them. And when I mean minorities, I don't mean ethnic minorities. I mean minorities in its truest sense, men who are not out there, are not being valued.
Mal and I talk I think we bring different elements to it. Mal's very positive and active, and I'm the guy that comes along and pops the balloon. And the balloon of me, just
we're good like that, aren't we, Rich?
Yeah, thank God for each other, right? Like, yeah. I love this balance, right? Because, yeah, it's yin and yang. So I'm inviting you to speak to the men out there directly, Jerome, because, you know, right at the beginning, you mentioned this moment of having inspiring role models to look up to, like a brother or a teacher or a father. And yet in my experience, a lot of the men that I've worked with, and actually the ones that are brave enough to step up into a circle, have put their hand up and said that they don't have that kind of role model. And the silence that I often encounter around, or the is it a lack of courage, but there's not enough men that are actually stepping up and doing this kind of work. You know, not taking up anyone can grab a mic, but I mean, sitting in a circle, for example, it's really hard to get men to do this. And I found my thing, and it's super rewarding, and I'm not giving up. So that's me sorted. And now I'm learning from him. He's been doing it a lot longer. But to the men out there, like, what have you got? What can you sort of say to them? I mean, I'm asking you to get on a soapbox, essentially, but how can you inspire them more than Mal and I are trying to? Because men are hiding, and I don't know what it is, but there's that step of action that you mentioned that we need to take beyond the conversation. I'm not quite sure how to get men to do that, and I don't know what it is that's holding us back as men collectively to stand up and just be proud to be ourselves and to show up in support of others. You know, we're not, I think there's this, I'm running out of words, but it's, what have you got, what could you say to the men out there?
I know exactly where you're coming from, Rich, because for the last 2 decades, I have encountered a lot of frustration. You know, it has been very depressing that you know, that men are not seeing the importance of brotherhood, the importance of fraternity, the camaraderie. Now it's vibrant in amongst the trade unions. If you know trade union history around the world, the men would come together, but those are for economic reasons, those are for wage reasons. But there is a lack of support groups. And I know exactly where you're coming from, Rich, in that those support groups are essential structures. It's a support group is like, you know, somebody putting an invisible hand on your back and patting you and saying, it's okay, you know, I stand by you, you know. And so I think that what we need to do, well, Mal and Rich, we have to do a process of re-socialization. It will take a long time, you know, but we need to start with baby steps. You know, it will not happen overnight. It might not happen for our generation, but there certainly needs to be a converging of men, you know, in public spaces. It could be a park, it could be a gym, it could be a community center, but there certainly needs to be more dialogue amongst the men. Unfortunately, because we live with so much communication, we have lost that human touch. You know, we communicate via email or WhatsApp, you know, we see each other digitally. But that meeting physically in a room, some people give excuses. They say that they have work schedules. They say it's too far, you know, the cost, the expenses, it's too late in the night. So I have a host of excuses that I've witnessed. My early celebrations had less than 10 persons, Men's Day in Trinidad here. You know, and nobody believed, you know, that the movement would have expanded. But I think the main point that I want to tell the men out there is not to give up. Not to give up and to continue fighting the good fight. We have to continue inspiring each other. And what I will tell you all, Mal and Rich, is that often you are a positive role model without knowing it. You know, you wouldn't have a tag, a name tag saying positive role model, but you know, a simple gesture. Rich, you might get up one morning and you're out there, you tell your neighbor hello or good afternoon, you know, or you reward the postman for Christmas Day, you know, with a gift. Or a few Christmases, I gave my garbage collector gifts and he was so shocked. He said, nobody in his life ever gave him a gift, you know. We need to recognize these people, you know. Maybe Mal, you might be, you decide to, you know, do some good gesture, open the door for someone. It could be another man. It doesn't have to be a woman. And something simple like that will have a repercussion. It will have a ripple effect. You will make that person feel so good. You never know. That person might be considering suicide. That person might be depressed. That person might have so much financial problems. So I think that we need to encourage our men to meet. We need to encourage, you know, our men to continue the good fight. But I also want to mention, Rich, that there, and Mal, there has been a fear of male role models in the last few years because of the scandals involving the Roman Catholic Church. You know, you all have known about the abuses, the sexual abuses, the physical abuses, and not just there, even the Boy Scouts movement in the United States has taken a lot of negative light on that. So, Rich, this could be part of your answer. No mother or father would want to send out their child to a scouts movement if the scouts leader has question marks, you know, if there are cases of abuse. So I want us to remember that when there are incidents of sexual and physical abuse, these are problems that keep our men from going out into these meetings.
Yeah, beautiful. Rich and I are nodding away again. Yeah, Rich, I can see you've got something to say.
Yeah, I mean, you've given a host of reasons as to why men are afraid to do this. And I think that it's I sense my own frustration in the question, and I'm just like, you know, you must have an answer. Like, and yet the thing that you there's a sense of compassion that's needed, I think, from my side as well, and patience, and also, as you said, just to continue fighting the good fight. I mean, it's interesting that we use that language, and let's not overanalyze that, but it's important that we continue to stand up. And I'm re-inspired just by hearing you say that and by having this conversation. And fuck me, like, just for the fact that you've been doing this for 20 years, you know, like, it's you haven't given up. You've continued it. Like, respect for doing that. So that just kind of gives me the impetus to just get my head down and just continue what I'm trying to do, man. It's because as you said, it might not be for this generation, right? It's like, we might not see the outcomes, but if we're continuously showing up and just like trying to be like good men and actually supporting other men, I love that idea. That was that meant a lot to me. So thank you kindly, sir.
Yeah, I would agree with what Rich has just said. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is inspiring to hear, Jerome, just how much you've invested, you know, you've dedicated yourself and your life to this mission of not just supporting men, but supporting men and the impact we can have in society. And I feel really grateful to you for doing that and for being the man that you are. You know, certainly in this podcast, in this conversation, you've just illuminated so many important things and been open and vulnerable and just demonstrated what it is like, you know, what we can be as men. And so thank you. I want to thank you very much for you being you and for you being willing to do what you're doing. And I really appreciate it, and I'm super grateful that you reached out a couple of weeks ago and made and contacted, and it's been really inspiring to have connected with you. So thank you very much.
I want to thank you all for inviting me here to this podcast, and I want to also tell you all that I would be glad to be here again in the future, next year or anytime, you know, just to, you know, discuss any issues, to look at any current issue, any international issue, but we certainly need to support each other. And I want to wish you both in advance a happy International Men's Day and your listeners.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. I mean, we'd love to have you back. It'd be an absolute honor. I think I can speak for both of us when I say that. And Mal and I, we've been talking recently and about launching a second season of Memory Imagine podcast. So we'd be honored to invite you back onto that. Thank you very much. This has been valuable for me personally. Mal, I've talked enough. I'm gonna leave you to wrap things up. And unless Jerome, you've got anything else to add to it, I'll say thank you to everyone for listening, and thank you, Jerome, once more.
Thank you, Jerome, for taking the time, and absolutely we'll have you back. And so just a couple of things, just to reiterate: November the 19th is International Men's Day. It is growing legs and spreading around the world. So I think, as Jerome just said, 92 countries. So in New Zealand here, we're running this theme, Men Stepping Up, and we're trying to encourage everybody to wear two different shoes as a symbol of that support for men. And hopefully it's going to be a fun way of doing that. But as you've heard Jerome speak, you know, all over the world there are going to be people recognizing men and also men showing that they really care. They care about other men, they care about society. And I think that for me is just a wonderful intention and aspiration. So Jerome, if there's anything you want to say to finish off, it'd be wonderful. Otherwise, we're all done.
I have no really final words. You know, I just, you know, was really happy to be here, happy to be, you know, part of the good vibrations, you know, and we just need to continue in the trenches doing our good work, you know. So thank you all again for having me, and best of luck to you to your listeners.
Yeah, a ho to that. Thanks, Jerome.
From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics, so the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.